Josh Kroenke met with the media on Friday, and, well, there's a lot to get to. This is Locked On Nuggets. Welcome to Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Thanks for making us your first listen each and every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Today's show is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. My name is Matt Moore. I'm a senior NBA writer for the Action Network. Joining you on a Friday evening after Josh Kroenke's afternoon press conference. Adam Ariz is still on vacation in Mexico. He'll be back on Monday when we'll kind of do another wrap-up show, get his thoughts on, you know, everything that went down today. If you missed it, Josh Kroenke met with the media today. Took about, I'd say, 45 minutes worth of questions, maybe less than that, maybe about 30. These things are always shorter than I think they are in the moment. Met with the Assemble Media, big house, big crowd in the house for Josh Kroenke's first media availability since Tim Connelly left. Usually these things are taken under some sort of guise, right? It's a yearly check-in or, oh, we were going to, like, a good thing probably would have been to be like, hey, check it out. We have brand new drawings of the practice facility. That was not the case today. The case today was simply that as head of the organization, as Josh Kroenke does operate in the official capacity for the team, even though his father is the owner, as he clarified to Ryan Blackburn on Friday, the goal was basically to try and reframe the narrative. And I knew, and most of us knew in the media coming in, that this was going to be not combative, because Josh is a pretty reasonable guy. Josh Kroenke is a very reasonable person, especially for somebody of his financial status, I'll say. And he's just pretty down to earth in my experience with him. And so I knew that there was going to be defensiveness, because you don't do this press conference unless you're looking to combat a narrative, right? Because otherwise you're just like, what's there to say? Tim got another job offer. Tim moved on. Calvin's our guy. You can talk to Calvin. You could say that maybe it was like a calming the waters type of deal, right? Like, you want to like reassure the fan base. Maybe that's part of it. There's a lot to kind of dive into. I will give you at the top, we will talk about kind of my broad takeaways. In the second segment, I want to talk specifically about the Tim Connelly situation, which I said that we weren't going to do, but guess what? I said that we would do it after Josh Kroenke spoke, and he did. And then the third segment, we'll get to like all the extemporanea in terms of the practice facility and the altitude stuff and all of that. Won't be like a super long show today because I'm alone, so I don't have anybody to debate with. And because, ultimately, I think I could have opinions on Kroenke's statements and takes, and I do, and I'll share them with you. But there is kind of like a limitation to how much any of this like really matters. This is kind of always the thing I get to with owners, is you can exert, I think there's value in fans expressing displeasure about whatever it is that they want, because that's a fan's right to complain. But I also, it's like, look, if everybody complains about the GM, eventually that guy's going to take some heat. Coach, same kind of deal. Players, same kind of deal, right? You can't change ownership. It's not a thing. Like, everyone can complain as much as possible. And if you could change owners, guess what? Robert Sarver would no longer be running the Suns. And James Dolan would definitely not be owning the Knicks. And so it kind of is what it is. And I will say, like, the Kroenkes aren't that level of frustration for their fans. So let's start here at the very top. One, on the positive side, like, nothing but like firm support for Calvin Booth. Okay. Nothing but like lots of positive reinforcement. Believe that he's a guy. I think that he's capable of taking this forward. He did say, he's like, I think Calvin has the capacity to be ruthless in approaching the kind of deals that we need to make to win a championship. That line stuck out to me. That's notable because it's a separation from Tim. And we've talked about that, right? About how Tim is very, wants to be on everybody's good terms, like wants to make sure that there's not discontent. Doesn't want to make enemies, Tim Connelly, because it's basketball. I think that's a reasonable approach. But if you're looking for somebody that's going to be a little bit more cutthroat, Calvin Booth might honestly be a little bit more that style. At least that's how Josh Kroenke kind of framed it on Friday. So that's like the positive side of it. Was thankful to Tim for all of his contributions. Said that Tim Connelly is his friend and that will never change, is a quote. There's some context, I think, that's necessary there. But I will say that, like, that feeling is mutual. There's no, to my knowledge, things are not frosty between those two as of now. That's my understanding of the situation as it stands. I think the other big takeaway from the press conference in terms of like a big picture perspective is likely that you have to kind of contextualize the comments from the perspective of how ownership is always going to approach these things. They have to pay for it. And I've said this, one of the reasons that owners don't typically do media, and Stan Kroenke never does, they're not, billionaires are not used to being questioned by people. Like, that's not a thing that happens a lot, right? And like, you stand up in front of a bunch of media and we're all like wearing sandals and like, hey, what's up, billionaire? You want to explain why it is you didn't pay for this thing? Before we get into kind of all of the details of Josh's comments, I want to take a moment and just say that I do appreciate that Josh Kroenke spoke with the media, and he did so in a respectful tone. And while there wasn't complete transparency, because some of this stuff is private, and I'm totally okay with that, there was transparency in terms of how he feels about it. He answered the questions that were posed to him. He didn't dismiss questions outright. There wasn't a tone of like, I don't have to answer that, of, you know, how dare you ask me that? I didn't go like, I don't do this because like, I'm always seeking for how can I phrase this question to not piss you off so that you answer it in the way that I want. Like, I don't, these press conferences, especially when it's a contentious situation, like obviously was with the situation with Tim Connelly, can oftentimes become theatrical with reporters. Like, there are just reporters, and this is not a Denver thing, this is just like a everywhere I've been, there are reporters that just like, they imagine themselves in a movie and they're like, I'm gonna challenge the power and really like, but my problem with that is always like, you're not gonna get the answer you want. Like, if allegedly you're doing this because the fans deserve an answer for whatever the issue is at hand, you need to phrase the question in such a way that they actually, you know, answer it. And we'll get to kind of like what that is in a second. Here's the big takeaways in terms of the Tim Connelly situation. Equity was mentioned several times. That's what Josh Kroenke repeated consistently, was once you start talking about equity. And then it kind of morphed, like, the once you start talking about equity, ownership was never going to go there, right, in matching that offer. And once that issue started to get brought up, there was a palpable frustration, specifically with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Josh Kroenke on repeatedly, not directly, but referred to, quote, if you're a desperate franchise. That was what he labeled essentially the Minnesota Timberwolves, was a desperate franchise. The biggest takeaway I have of today is that Josh Kroenke and the Kroenke Sports Entertainment Company are very upset with the Minnesota Timberwolves for the offer that they provided Tim Connelly, regardless of what it was. So ironically, okay, so he goes through this entire speech. I ask him I started my question off with, okay, you pay the luxury tax, you've shown a commitment to pay players, because the approach there is to be like, to validate, because I think it's a fair point to be like, look, do you want to pay for executives or players? If you have to choose between one or the other, you take the players every time if you're a fan. So he does that. And so I asked him about the difference in that approach versus managerial, given the situation with Masai and Tim. And he rightfully noted that Masai and Tim were completely different situations. And they were. They absolutely were. What he made note of was, once you get into an equity situation, he said, you know, their approach is to hire good people and give them the resources to compete for championships. Put good people in places to succeed. He then listed off all the success that they basically had, right? The Rams won the Super Bowl. The Colorado Rapids were atop the Western Conference last year. The Mammoth are in the middle of a run. The Nuggets made the Western Conference Finals. Over at Arsenal, they think they, quote, have a really good young team coming out of the ground. Okay. So some of that is, hey, look, we're really successful. Maybe you should trust us. Because Josh also mentioned several times, Josh Kroenke also mentioned several times, Mr. Kroenke, I don't know how I should refer to him. Josh Kroenke also refers several times to the fact that he took grief for hiring the people that he did, Masai and Tim, and then took grief on the back end for not keeping them, which I understand that kind of complaint, right, of Masai Ujiri is untested. You're really going to have him run the Carmelo Anthony situation? What, you let Masai Ujiri go? He's such a great executive. You hired a scout in Tim Connelly? Like, you just hired the scout guy with no GM experience? You let Tim Connelly walk, right? So I understand from his perspective that being a little frustrating, given the success across all these teams, it doesn't change some of these dynamics. He got into the details and said, you know, he said, I think we've done a really good job identifying good young front office talent, maybe too good. I've had two of my guys poached, and on the front office side, I was told how dumb I am. I was told how dumb I am to let them go. He said, I think we have confidence that we can keep building, but that thinking has evolved, which is why we made the offer to Tim Connelly that we did, because we want to reward good people. But ultimately, when you go to a stratosphere that some clubs, say some desperate clubs, are willing to go to, there's a tier out there that just doesn't make sense. And when Tim called me and said he might want to think about it, if there's some sort of equity valuation upside, I understood, because the Denver Nuggets are not a startup. We're a well-established small market organization with a stated goal of winning an NBA championship with a two-time MVP. And if equity stake is going to enter the equation and alter the, I guess, compensation world that's out there, then it is what it is. We made a very competitive offer to Tim. We want to try and keep good people in the building, but sometimes people will put things on the table where it's an area you can't quite go. And then I followed up, and we'll get to that on the other side after a break. But first, I want to tell you about Prize Picks, because I, too, want to make the money. All right, NBA fans, are you looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA? You need to try the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. We love it, and we know you will, too. You pick 2 to 5 players and over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's just that easy. Prize Picks is safe, and it offers fast withdrawals. Use the award-winning app on the App Store and Google Play. They offer a variety of options. You can pick from points scored to rebounds, even steals. I like Andrew Wiggins over points and rebounds again in game 2. Prize Picks allows mixed sport entries, and they don't just offer NBA, but also college basketball, college football, NFL, MLB, soccer, MMA, and more. And for a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. You get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point, but you have to use code NBA. That's right, an exclusive offer available to Locked On fans. Sign up today and use code NBA and get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. We're also brought to you today by Built Bar. Flavor of the month, caramel brownie. Oh my. Don't you love a chewy, chocolatey brownie? What about caramel brownie with caramel swirled on top? Well, if I told you you can have all that chewy, chocolatey deliciousness plus 17 grams of protein, well, you're in luck, because caramel brownie bars are available at Built.com right now, and you got to act fast because they are the new fan favorite. You can forget about dessert. They've only got 4 grams of sugar for a caramel brownie Built Bar, 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 4 grams of sugar. And they're covered in 100% real chocolate, like for real. With Built Bar, you don't have to sacrifice tasty for healthy. You can get both. There are millions of reasons you should try Built Bars, but for now, let's just say that the caramel brownie will rock your world. And that's not an understatement. With Built, tasty is the new healthy. Go to Built.com and get your box of caramel brownie bars now. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. Back here on Locked On Nuggets, thanks for making us part of your day and your first listen each and every day. Do want to tell you, we got an important favor to ask you. We put together a survey so we can learn more about our listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better. It's your opportunity to tell us what you like and, well, don't like about Locked On Podcast. So go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey right now to get started. It won't take very long, and everyone that completes the survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. To take our audience survey, go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey. Thanks for your help. All right, so Josh Kroenke goes through this entire thing, talking about how the equity. Mark Stein of formerly of ESPN, Hall of Famer, by the way, Mark Stein has his own Substack. Mark, also of the New York Times previously, Mark reported, amongst other outlets, and I believe Singer also reported this, that it wasn't an equity deal. So what Tim Connelly got was a bonus based off of the evaluation of the franchise. So if the franchise is worth more, Tim Connelly's bonus goes up an approximate amount. This is a wildly different deal than equity. That's not the same thing. It's not. It's not nearly close to the same thing. Like, having ownership stake in an NBA franchise is insane. Like, that's crazy. Like, that is a coveted asset that only a select few members of the Illuminati, of the billionaire club, like, get to get into, right? Like, you gotta be on that. Like, Justin Timberlake is a minority owner, right? Like, getting a share of that franchise is crazy. Which is why everyone was really reacting to it and why there was such kind of an outcry. Different organizations were like, the owners were making it clear. They were pissed about the idea of anybody being offered this deal. Well, it wasn't that. It wasn't equity. It was a bonus. And so I wanted to clarify because these things are due. And I said, it's been reported by multiple outlets that it wasn't equity, it was a bonus structure. Do you consider that to be the same? And do you feel that transparency was provided to you so you could make an appropriate counteroffer? And here's what he said. The term equity was used a lot, emphasis, in the past 3 weeks with me. I don't know. It's not my business what they do in Minnesota. It's not their business what we do in Denver. It was interesting conversations to know that was out there. I don't know what their deal was, but it was repeated to me through multiple areas that there was some sort of, whether it was equity, whether it was phantom equity, whether it was valuation upside. I don't know what it is. You'll have to ask the Minnesota Timberwolves, and you'll have to ask Tim. So on the one hand, we have Josh Kroenke that's like, openly frustrated and basically projecting on behalf of the entire KSE organization how livid they are that the Minnesota Timberwolves offered equity in any franchise deal to get Tim Connelly. And on the other hand, you have him saying, I don't know exactly what they were offered. Okay, so there was some sort of breakdown in communication. Either Josh Kroenke was lying to us in the media, entirely possible, not going to blame him for that. I never blame anybody for lying to the media. That's kind of the job. But if we take him at his word, which I think is fair, this is what he's on record with, then there was some sort of miscommunication in terms of what it was, what the implication was, because it definitely seemed like Josh Kroenke thought that the only way that he was going to keep Tim Connelly was if he offered him equity in the Denver Nuggets. I personally don't believe that that's probably what was asked for, but that seems to be the implication thereof. It's clear that there is tension on all sides of this. On top of this, Josh revealed in the conversations today, I'm saying Josh because it's like compared to Stan. If I just say Kroenke, it's like I could talk about Stan, right? So Kroenke mentions today that Singer was good about following up on this because here's what happened. Tim Connelly had a multi-year deal, but he had an option. There was an option provided by the Kroenkes for Connelly to exercise because it was like, hey, let's see where the market for executives is in 3 years. And if it's that high, then we'll take care of you and get this sorted out. He said with no idea that Tim would exercise that and leave, right? The problem is like you knew that you were paying him below the average, right? You knew that we've had this reported that like the offer was twice what he's been making. So we know that he wasn't one of the highest paid executives in the league. So you knew that this possibility was out there and you chose not to extend him. If you're talking about the idea of, well, I expected Tim Connelly to come to me. Well, he did. He got another, like every job I've ever been in, if I want a raise, typically, the answer is go get another offer and then we'll see if we want to match. not my current one, but most of them. That's how it's always been. You have to have some sort of leverage. And so I will just say that in closing, kind of on the Tim Connelly situation, there's a lot of soreness about this issue. Kroenke was pointed in his criticism of the Minnesota Timberwolves. In my opinion, he was a bit pointed in his criticism of Tim Connelly because the implications were that, like, there was a handshake deal and, like, all these types of things, and that equity was used in him. And maybe that's because, like, maybe that was from Andy Miller's side, because when things got complicated, Tim Connelly, who did not have an agent, Mark Stein reported this, Andy Miller's been representing him. That's an agent. So on that side, this got messy. And I don't think we're going to know the full story of what happened. But my biggest question that I still have is how much of the decision... Well, I have a lot of questions, which is I have no way to be able to... Like, I have to take it on... Here's what I have. I have Josh Kroenke saying, we made a very competitive counteroffer. And Tim Connelly, who has openly expressed that he did not want to leave Denver. He has said that in his press conferences in Minnesota, that he didn't want to leave Denver. He's gone. So you made a competitive counteroffer, and yet Tim Connelly is the president of basketball operations for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Why? What was a counteroffer? These are questions for another day. Because there's only so much you're going to get out, especially when things are this tense. And I'll just tell you, like, again, I want to credit Kroenke for not, like, I asked a follow-up and was basically like, look, it wasn't equity, so what's the deal? And he answered every question with the respect that it deserved. If he was annoyed with the implication that they're a backwards organization, that's fair. They have a team in the Western Conference Finals, the NHL. The Nuggets made it 2 years ago. The Rams just won the Super Bowl. KSC's been killing it. Like, he's not wrong there, right? The idea that they don't pay for things. That, okay. We'll say a couple things here. One, he mentioned that the Avs have lost $8 million this season. They're $8 million in the hole. Now, a lot of that's like they do these paper trails in order to like justify revenue sharing and things like that. But I just for a team that's on the brink of a Stanley Cup Finals appearance, probably not the time to be like. But this is, I will say, this is what the owners always do, is they're always like, not only did I build us a winning team, but like, look what I was willing to suffer through. You know, you're never going to get real sympathy from most folks because you're rich, and we don't tend to have a lot of sympathy for rich people. That's not a good or bad thing. That just is what it is. Like, that's how it goes. So ultimately, this, I described Josh's comments as pointed, and that's how it felt to me, was he wanted to make it clear it is unfair to label us as cheap, because that's always going to be the implication. We're a winning organization. This offer was ridiculous. We didn't match a ridiculous offer. We have nothing but confidence in Calvin Booth. He said the words, we have the two-time MVP like five times, like reiterated that, expressed his communication with Michael Malone, his communication with Nikola Jokic, like made sure like everybody's on the same page, which is like a lot of this, like, let's calm everybody down. Let's push back on the idea that we're cheap and let's reset the narrative going forward. And that's what they ultimately accomplished. And so, there were also, I will say this, the whole organization was very much like, we weren't trying to duck you with the fact that we got COVID. And it's like, no, we believe you, man. Like, it's okay. Like, there's a pandemic, you get to have COVID. So that was honestly why there were some circles of the internet that were complaining, like, where's this press conference? Where's this press? The guy he told us that he tested negative yesterday. And so that was the first time that he tested negative, and they scheduled the press conference as soon as he tested negative. So that's how that goes. All right. This is all like drama and politics, right? This is like high palace intrigue. You as the fan probably want to know, like, how does any of this affect me? I will talk to you about altitude. We'll talk about the practice facility. We'll talk about the implications for you, the fan, and the teams, next when we come back on Locked On Nuggets. But first, I want to tell you about BetOnline. BetOnline.net is the number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. You can find all of the latest sports developments, news, and odds, including this year's basketball championship matchup, the NHL Hockey Conference Finals, Major League Baseball, and of course, all the latest fighting news from MMA and UFC to boxing. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. Back here on Locked On Nuggets, thanks for making us part of your day and your first listen each and every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Make sure to check out Locked On NBA. You got me on Tuesdays, usually Adam on Fridays, not this week because he's on vacation, where it's raining apparently on him. Boo-hoo. So let's talk a little bit about what the other news out of today was. A lot of questions about the altitude dispute. Lawsuits ongoing. Short answers. The tone was definitely, this thing is going to get resolved. Like, it feels like the comments from Kroenke to me kind of indicated, like, we know what the end game is here, whether it's settlement, arbitration, whatever. Like, we know where the end point is going to be at this point. Express continued frustration on a personal and professional level with how this has gone. Does not feel it's feasible. Made it clear the impact that not having altitude on cable has had on the business itself, which kind of wish that hadn't been brought up with employees in the building. Like, that was, I was kind of flinching at that just because I respect my colleagues that worked at altitude a great deal. They have a great, great staff. Everyone I know that works at altitude is phenomenal. So just want to make that clear. Not like a date, because they're still waiting for the lawsuit to get resolved. I don't have like a, if you're looking to me for like what's the holdup, I don't have one for you. Kroenke, like, they've lost. I don't know what else to tell you. None of these companies have beaten Comcast or their local cable provider, Cox, whoever. None of them. All of these RSNs are out in the wind. All of them. Like, they just lost this battle. And I don't know what the answer is for them. Singer brought up the question of a streaming service, which seems like it's a pretty logical one. NESN launched one 2 days ago, and Kroenke was like, well, they're actually backed by Comcast. That's maybe fair, but there's a great deal of them that are not. And you have to wonder if there's just like an option out there for subscriptions direct to market. I'll just say, like, I don't know what altitude's going to look like in 5 years. 3 years, 2 years. I don't know what it's going to look like. That doesn't necessarily mean that, like, what the most likely scenario is that the existing property is absorbed by another company and then just rebranded, because you have like the studio and like you have tangible assets and personnel, and you have to like, it's better to do all this than just take the in-house stuff and do that than try and build your own. But if you're asking me, are the Nuggets and Avalanche going to be on local TV, local cable rather, in the fall? My answer is probably, but I would have said the same thing this time last year and this time before that, whenever that was, relative to the pandemic cycle. I would have said, like, yeah, they're going to get it sorted out. And they haven't. And the courts are slow. So we'll see where that goes. No real update there. Similarly, okay, a lot of questions about the practice facility, because that's like another indicator of the Kroenke's willingness to spend money on the margins. I will say that Kroenke was more positive about that. It wasn't just like, we continue to have these conversations. There's a lot to work through. We'll have an update for you sometime soon. There was like a real, like, we think that we can probably get the practice facility built before we get the rest of, because what they want to do is they want to build like the practice facility and shops and development and like a high rise and all these types of things. And he said, like, the practice facility, they can probably just build once they get the zoning clearance from the city that they have to work out, and then they can work on their surrounding properties, right? My concern there, obviously, is the practice facility isn't going to make them any money. So what's going to be the emphasis? Is it going to be on the thing that the team needs, or is it going to be on and that the, and you're, if you're asking like, why do I give a about the practice facility? It helps lure free agents. It makes the players happy. the end. Like, if you're trying to keep Nikola Jokic, if you're trying to keep Jamal Murray, if you're trying to keep Aaron Gordon, if you're trying to, let's say MPJ gets healthy, you want to do all these things, having a nice practice facility really does help. The players want to operate in world-class facilities. Currently, they operate on level 2 of an arena, and it's just, there's not enough room. There's just not. So, something they need to get resolved. Notably, he indicated after Mike Singer asked about Calvin Booth's contract, because Calvin is on an expiring, he's a lame duck. He suggested basically that they were going to sit down and talk it out and work it out, and that there'd be an announcement in the coming days. So he did not say this, but my understanding and the way that I took it is probably they're going to give Calvin Booth a title bump, whether it's to executive vice president of basketball operations or president of basketball operations or grand architect of basketball operations, whatever. They're going to give him a title bump. They'll give him a pay bump. They'll give him a multi-year deal. I'm not expecting this to be a long-term deal. I don't think he's getting 5 years. I think he's getting like 2 with an option based off of this. And he'll still probably be one of the lesser paid executives in the league. If that's not the case, they need to make sure that gets leaked. That needs to make it out to the media so that it's reported that they are paying somebody standard. Because right now, everything I've ever heard is that they are paying their front office people less than everyone else is, and that is not what you do. My final big kind of takeaway. The Kroenkes are obviously still frustrated that they get labeled as cheap given how much money they are spending on the teams and the success that they've had. I think with the Rams, you can't fault them unless you're from St. Louis. But if you're a Rams fan, they did what you wanted. They paid whatever it took. Whatever it took. New arena, all this stuff. They paid all this stuff and they won a Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl. And it's reasonable for the fans of all of the other franchises to request the same, to expect the same. Nobody calls Steve Ballmer cheap. Nobody. Nobody's going to call A-Rod and the new ownership group in Minnesota cheap. Not going to do that, right? Because they've shown that they're willing to spend whatever it takes to compete. And that's all that I think the fans are expecting. That's a reasonable expectation. You give them your hard-earned money. There was discussion a lot today from the media contingent about, you know, when Kroenke says it doesn't make sense for us financially at some point. If you're worth $10 billion, does it really matter? I'll say this. In the interest of fairness, it is very rare that any one singular person that is not a player is actually worth, that there's no limit, that it's going to make a meaningful difference. And if you approach everything from the paradigm of seeking return on investment, like I deal a lot with this, like with betting, right? It's like, are you getting good ROI? Then I understand the concept. I can disagree and say, like, no, I think Tim Connelly is worth it. But we've said we don't know how Tim Connelly is going to do in Minnesota. Like, no one was surprised that Masai Ujiri was successful in Toronto. Nobody. There wasn't a strong relationship there. Like, that was one thing that Josh Kroenke kind of, like, strongly intimated today, is that there wasn't a really strong relationship between him and Masai. There was a strong relationship between him and Tim Connelly. Still is, apparently. So that influences things. But if you look at it and you go simply based off of it, I think kind of the idea is, let's say that you can bring a player back, but it's going to push you into the luxury tax, or it's going to raise your luxury tax level. Let's put this in more concrete terms. It's PJ Tucker. Okay. So the Bucks are in the luxury tax anyway. They're still paying the luxury tax. They won a title. They won and built a team with a title. And the question was, is PJ Tucker worth the $4 million in luxury, the salary of like 10, and then like the consequential luxury tax payment on top of that? Is he worth like $20 million to the franchise? And if you're a fan, you're like, we want a title with him. We can, like, we need to bring as many pieces of the title team back or get better. Yes. But in the vacuum, you go, like, is PJ Tucker worth $20 million? And the answer is, like, no. Like, no, he's not. He's an aged, slow, non-on-ball, defensive presence, corner three shooter. Right? Like, and Tim Connelly, I think, is above PJ Tucker in the echelon of front office guys. I do. But the question is, along those same lines of, you are paying for things. Is this value, even if you have the ability to pay more for it, should you? That's the key question, I think, that comes into play in regards to this. But I still wind up questioning that equity was such a big part of the program, and equity was not what Tim Connelly got. So that's going to wrap it up for Locked On Nuggets for Friday. Thanks for joining us. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode before Adam gets back on Monday. Hit me with your questions and comments. I'll try and hit whatever else it is that you want to hear about. Hit me on Twitter at HP Basketball, or you can hit the show on Twitter at Locked On Nuggets. Give us a 5-star review. Really appreciate it. Thanks for sticking with me this week. I know that the schedule has been inconsistent. I've got a lot of stuff going on with the NBA Finals for Action Network. So been really crazy busy, but things should settle down next week as we get closer to the NBA draft. We're doing a mock draft on Locked On, and spoiler alert, I pulled off a trade, which you all are going to hate. It's going to be amazing. All right. Have yourselves a great weekend. Talk to you again soon. Thanks for listening to Locked On Nuggets.